All right, so this is a Universal Game exclusive podcast. What does that mean? It means that this story has never been told. This is brand new information for the internet and for podcasts in general, okay? This is about Egypt and some wild experiences that she had while she was in Egypt at the sites, in the places, metaphysical. Okay, you're going to need to open your mind for this one because it gets wild. And there are no timestamps on purpose because I didn't really feel like it was relevant to kind of jump around, because in order to understand it, you're probably going to need to go start to finish. Okay, so that's on purpose if you're wondering. Other than that, my first question got cut off. So basically what I asked right here at the beginning was, what happened? How did you get interested in Egypt? What is your story with Egypt? Where do we start in this whole endeavor? So with that context, let's get into it.
Egypt was always in my field, like in my awareness. Like I felt like I was activated at a very, very young age, which was because of the Remember the Time Michael Jackson music video. I'm a very huge Michael Jackson fan. So like he was always there, the music was always there. But specifically this video, I remember so vividly. I was 4 years old. I was sitting in front of the TV. And it was back in the days where music videos were actually, you know, promoted. And it was like a big thing of like, ooh, the new Michael Jackson music video is going to come out on whatever 8 p.m. And I remember sitting on the floor, probably like 20 centimeters close to the TV, because I wanted to jump into the music video and being so, feeling so activated by it. Like the entire Egypt scenery with actors that I knew. So Eddie Murphy is in the video, Iman, a model, is in the video, Shaq O'Neal is in the video, and then obviously Michael Jackson. But this entire scenery of Egypt, the gold, the clothes, the energy in itself did something to me. I was obviously not able to explain or understand what was happening. I was, like said, like four. But now in retrospect, it feels like that this is where everything started. Like I felt activated, as if this being able to watch specifically Egypt also being presented through Black culture and not through the whitewashed version it usually is, felt it just resonated on a deep level that I was not able to put into words. It's even difficult to put it into words now, but this is, in retrospect, how it all started, this entire journey for me. And I watched tons of documentaries. I was always interested in the pyramids, how were they built? It never made sense to me that they were built by slaves and it was humans that actually made that happen. Like, I always searched for more and an understanding of, like, there must have been something else. Like, there must have been something out of this world that was used to build these seemingly out of this world monuments and all of it. So that was always a thing. And then many, many years along the line later, I actually did a DNA test because I struggled identifying myself with my roots. I grew up in Germany. There is a lot of personality traits that other people would probably say are very German, but there was still always like a thing where I'm like, I can't really grasp that for me and it doesn't really resonate to me. And then the other side, my father's side, he is Italian. He was born and raised in Italy. And that was the same thing for me. Like, I was not able to connect to that culture beyond the food, but I think everyone kind of is able to connect to Italian food. So like, that wasn't even a thing where I'm like, okay, you know, that makes sense. Like, I connect to the food culture, so like, I feel Italian now. So that was always a thing where I'm like, okay, like, who am I? Like, where am I coming from? What am I made of? And so, yeah, I think it was in 2020 when I did the DNA test, or 2021 maybe, which obviously was a very big time for all of us, like with a lot of changes and transformation and seeing the world differently. And what came out was that there are no Italian genes in me whatsoever. when you look at the map that I was given, everything around Italy was lit up, but Italy. So that means I have North African roots, Balkan roots, a lot of European roots as well. But the North African part was what was striking me so much, because I always had a very strong connection to Africa, the continent in general, but specifically like North Africa. I went to Morocco with my mom when I was 6, which was like a whole different world to me. Like, I was able to see a whole different way of living. I was so impacted by that trip. And again, now in retrospect, I'm like, ooh, maybe that was even more than just the culture. And it was even more than the shiny objects and the new thing about everything. But like, actually me being in that land, in that country, and feeling connected to it on a deeper level. And all of that really showed me that we always kind of know inside of us what is going on, and we just have to listen to it and to go for it and dig deeper and figure out what that means. Like, that is what intuition is about. It always gives us like these little nudges of like, ooh, you're interested in this, and ooh, that sounds amazing, and that is something that you should look at, but never really logically explains to you why. You just have to follow these little breadcrumbs and figure it out yourself. And this is how I feel like now, looking back on my life with these little moments every few years where I again was drawn to Egypt by whatever happened. I also had a past life regression where I saw a past life of mine in Egypt. I was told by many other healers and spiritual teachers that I actually have several past lives in Egypt. So there were many, many moments in my life that always was like, don't forget about Egypt. Don't forget about Egypt. You know, it always popped up in my life about something through someone, even if it was just someone talking about it, where I'm just like, had another nudge of like, oh, you need to go. Like, you know, why haven't you been there yet? And then it took 34 years for me to finally get the chance to go to Egypt. And that was last year. I was in Bali, where I'm in right now as well. And I met someone, and she was about to go to Egypt 2 months later than that point when we met, to go for a retreat, an initiation retreat, where it was about traveling along the Nile, visiting all of the different sites, the pyramid, the different temples. And as soon as she talked about it, like, my entire body reacted. Like, I had goosebumps all over. It felt like I was vibrating. This is usually only the sensation that I'm feeling when I'm meditating, or when I'm in hypnosis, or plant medicine, or yada yada, like something that alters your consciousness. But she was just talking about it, and I was like, oh my God, okay, my body is telling me I need to go. So I figured out how to get in contact with that person that was facilitating. I talked to her. I was like, I want to go. And then she told me about the price, and I was like, ooh, well, maybe next time. And I kid you not, I talked to that girl that told me about the retreat, and she was like, I don't know what to tell you. She is reading the Akashic Records. So she was like, I don't know what to tell you, but I see you there. You're going to be there. I don't know how, but you will be there. And I kid you not, within 3 days, I had the money on my account. It was like the universe was like, okay, it's time. You need to go. And I'm talking about several thousand dollars, right? Like, it was on my account within 3 days. And if the bodily sensation wasn't enough for me to realize that that is where I'm meant to go, that definitely helped and showed me like, okay, now we got you. You know, like, it felt like my guides, my ancestors were up there and be like, no, it's time. We got you. We make it happen. That's what I was. That was my intention. I just took a sip of my Blue Lotus tea, full on in my Egyptian ancestry here, using everything to be in the, to be centered the most that I can for this podcast. Amazing. No, it's all good. Yeah, so I got to Egypt. The retreat started on September 5th, and I decided to go there a little earlier. I think I touched down on September 1st. And everything, like just touching down there and being in that energy already did something to me. It just felt like home. It just felt like a level of being seen on a deeper level. Like I felt seen by the people, right? I felt, oh, you're gone again. Okay. So yeah, I felt seen by the people, but if that makes sense, by the land itself. Like, it wasn't even the people so much that made me feel seen and recognized, but more so the land itself, like just the energy that I was surrounded by walking these streets were so different to anything I've ever experienced before. I can only compare it to how I feel in Bali from the intensity, but it is a whole different energy. Bali is much more feminine energy. Egypt is much more masculine energy, I felt like. So it was a very intense energy that I was feeling just touching down. I was so excited to be able to meet the wisdom keeper that was there to guide us through all of the different sites, even before the retreat started, because she's a very motherly energy. So she was like, I want to invite you guys to my balcony to watch the sunset tonight. Like we were touching down in the morning or whatever. And she was like, you know, come over, let's talk, let's enjoy the sunset. So this is how it started. And I was able to be in her energy before the retreat even started, on that balcony, watching the sunset, being able to literally look at two of the three pyramids and the Sphinx from her balcony, watching the sun setting behind the Great Pyramid. Like this in itself was so activating. This in itself was beyond, again, anything I ever experienced in my life before. Like it felt like the initiation already started. And after there were a few moments of like, you know, who are you? Where are you coming from? What's your name? Yada, yada, yada. She immediately went into looking at me, looking at the facilitator of the retreat, looking back to me, and then saying, pointing to me, saying like, she is here for me, not for you. And I was like, whoa, that resonated so much. I was like, because I felt like I needed to go to Egypt for more than this, just this retreat. And as soon as I met this wisdom keeper, I felt like you are the reason why. And now being out on the other side, I know why, because she became a mentor to me. We are still in contact. We are now actually working on a retreat together ourselves. And she just continuously knew what to say in the right moment to help me accelerate my process of remembrance in this country, in Egypt, throughout all of the different sites that we embarked in and all of that. But it started right there on her balcony. And the next thing that happened was she looked at me again. She looked like from head to toe and she was like, you are here to embody more of your feminine energy. And that was my intention going to the retreat. So all of this happened like in the first like 15 minutes of meeting this woman on her balcony and being like, okay, we haven't even started yet to visit any of the sites and you already blow my mind. Like, I'm so excited for this. I don't even know what to say. And I then continue to visit her on her balcony every evening before we even started the retreat. And we had amazing conversations, just really eye to eye. She was triggering the shit out of me, telling me all of the things that she is seeing and that she's feeling and that I need to, you know, look deeper into. So like really like one of these people that is like once in a lifetime experience when we meet these people, where you're just like, I will never in my life forget this person, because she had such an impact on me, on shifting energy within me just through her words, without even going into what happened at the retreat yet. So I already knew that was obviously the right decision. I felt so at peace. I felt so activated and so balanced being in her presence, really was activating already. So fast forward through the first day of the retreat. The first day started with us walking down to the Sphinx, and we had a private access there. So for an hour or two, maybe, we were able to be around the Sphinx, just our group. Like, we were 20 women, I believe, just us. It was not open yet to any tourists. So we were able to just really indulge into the energy of the Sphinx. And we were even able to go in between the legs of the Sphinx, which usually is not allowed. Usually you are like several feet away, like several hundred feet away, and just be able to like look at the Sphinx, but you're never able to touch her or get close. We were. And just walking down from like the path from the bus down to the Sphinx, I could not hold onto my tears. Like, they were just flowing out. Like, I started crying immediately. I felt everything. There are no words to describe, in no language that I'm capable of, what I was really feeling. It felt like tingling from my toes up to my crown. It felt like as if I'm just about to touch something that is on a soul level familiar to me. It was a level of touching the deepest of my innerness. And this still doesn't even come close to what I was feeling. I'm just trying to put it into words, but like, and I wasn't even there yet, right? Like, I wasn't even touching the stone yet. But then eventually I got there. We were allowed to meditate between the legs in front of it. There was a bit of an altar situation, like a granite stone, where we were able to put our crystals or our jewelry or whatever to activate these belongings with that energy. And then we all meditated together. The Wisdom Keeper had a bit of a speech talking about that energy and what she is really giving you. And it is usually chosen by her to start as a starting point, the Sphinx, because it kind of is like one of the energies, deities, goddesses. There are so many different ways of how people try to describe what this statue is about. But it is like a starting point because she is the one that watches over everything, because she's so big, right? And the way she's laying there with her legs and that presence of this cat-like energy has so much of a majestic energy that you're feeling. That's why, to me, it felt like the first thing that I was doing when I touched her was like, I asked for permission. I asked for permission to be here and to be allowed in this presence and to be able of feeling whatever is going to come up for me. And since I'm a child, I have the gift of clairaudience. So like, I receive messages that usually come from the right side. And I immediately heard her saying, "Welcome back, child." And that gave me the rest. Like, I almost broke down. I was like, oh my God, like this, I felt all the feels. So that was the beginning of that trip. And I was already like, okay, like, how can this be topped in any way? Like, I already felt everything that I can imagine to feel. But then we went later that day. We went back to our boat. We were traveling on a sailing boat along the Nile, going from side to side, from pyramid to temple, and so on. So we went back to the boat and traveled a little further, and then switched back to the bus, and then we went to the Saqqara temple, which is a sound healing temple, or a sound temple. So it basically is a monument, a temple, amazing from the inside, like the hieroglyphs, everything is super beautiful. Everything is just really, again, a sense of like you feel energies in all of these sites. Some were more intense for me, some less intense. And I think it depends on also what your intention is, because when I later talked to everyone else that participated in this retreat, they were felt much more activated in a different temple than I did. So it really depends on where you're coming from, what you're looking for. And what your intention is, I guess. So the Saqqara temple itself did not much for me. But when we stepped out again, the wisdom keeper was like, okay, and here's where the sound healing comes in. It was a wall, one of the walls of the temple, which had like, as if someone caved out a stone out of the wall. I don't know how big it was, maybe like half a meter times half a meter. It wasn't really big. And she was like, you're just going up there, placing your hand on the walls and put your head into that opening and tell me what you hear. So I did this. And there were three of these chambers, is what they call it. Sound healing chambers. And I put my head in there and I heard a frequency. It's like, come on, like this can't be, it's just stone. Like, how is that even possible? Right? Like, there's no one behind that wall because it was a several meters thick wall into the temple. There's no one like with sound ball or whatever. So I was like, okay, let me do this again. Maybe I'm imagining this. So I got back in and I heard the most beautiful sound, which was a pretty high-pitched sound that again felt really familiar. Is like very close to the sounds that you usually hear that they put under when they talk about the pyramids, you know, in documentaries or whatever, like these really Egyptian like music, but like it was just one tone. But it reminded me immediately of one specific documentary that I used to watch. And I was like, okay, let me just receive this. Let me close my eyes and see what is coming up. And then I heard, which I think was one of my guides saying like, that's not your chamber. I was like, well, okay then, let me go to the next one. The next one was a little lower in frequency. And I indulged into that, closed my eyes. And I immediately in my third eye, having my eyes closed, saw an owl that was embarked in purple light and that was beaming. I only saw the head of the owl, but it was beaming towards me as if it was vibrating. And I was like, okay, interesting. You know, like I need to remember this. Like maybe that means something. It will come up later. And then the next chamber was also another tone and it was amazing, but I didn't see anything else. So I went back to the other one with the owl because I was like, okay, that is obviously my chamber. Like I need to indulge more and see what is happening and see what is coming up. But nothing more came up. Fast forward to the next day. We went to another temple and we were able to spend some time with the Sekhmet statue, the original Sekhmet statue that is usually... It is like in a chamber that is closed with three different chains. So you're usually not allowed to go in there. We again were so lucky because of this amazing wisdom keeper to go into that chamber. We all touched the segment, statue and again meditated. And from one moment to the next, it was simultaneously the entire group of 20 women started to feel something, and we all started humming in the same frequency and the same tone. And not everyone, but most of us also simultaneously started crying because of everything that we were feeling. And then the owl came back to me. I saw her again in that purple light, vibrating. And this time she made like the usual woohoo owl noises, right? Like I was like, okay, she's like trusting me. That's how it felt like. She's coming closer. She's actually expressing herself. Like, okay, let's see what's coming up. Like what is coming? But not much more than that happened, which was a lot, because like that feeling of, again, energy rushing through my body. And it almost felt like we were all touching the statue and we were all barefoot on the ground. And it almost felt like we were creating a natural cycle, a natural cycle of energy rushing through our hands into our feet, or the other way around. I don't even know. But like, it felt like the energy was rushing through our bodies. And that is exactly what everyone else was saying when we talked about it afterwards. So it was like a unanimous experience, as if we, what I'm hearing right now is as if we tapped into the collective consciousness in that moment. Specifically because Sekhmet is the statue, the goddess, the deity, that is considered the warrior. She has a lion head and a human body. And it happened to be on that retreat that wasn't planned by the facilitator, as far as I know, that it was only women signing up. And that we felt also activated through that feminine warrior deity Sekhmet in that moment just started to make so much sense. But then, I can't, I, like, even just talking about it now, I feel like I'm there again, and I'm just, like, feeling all the feels, and I just still can't believe that all of that happened, because, again, I had a moment of, like, how can this be taught, right? Like, this is insane. Like, how can, in what world can this be taught? But it was. Very much so. So the next temple, I can't remember if it was the next day. I want to say it was, but maybe there was another temple that was before. But the next temple that really activated me was the temple for Hathor. That is a temple that, again, is very beautiful to look at. As soon as you touch down, I always like took off my feet to just really ground into the energy, be able to feel everything, let the energy have a quicker and easier access to my body and to my soul. As soon as I touched ground, I had a feeling of like, oh, this is going to be so special. And again, it didn't make any sense. It wasn't logical. It was my intuition. It was just a feeling, an inner knowing of like, oof, you want to be ready for this one. Let me take a sip of my blue lotus tea with it.
All right, if you want to support more stories like this one getting released, I highly recommend that you check out Universe of Game on Patreon. You're listening to the Universe of Game podcast, and we have a Patreon that is not like all the basic ass bitches Patreon. Okay, this is an advanced Patreon. What does that mean? That means we go live every single week in the Patreon with a different topic on the nature of reality. So if you're interested in metaphysical principles, we've covered Hermeticism, the Kabbalion. You're going to have access to all the recordings that have been done previously. So an immense amount of information in a library about the metaphysical reality available to you now using the Patreon. So go check it out. The link is in the description below.
So I walked into the temple for Hathor. Beautiful temple, beautiful things to look at, like just looking at the hieroglyphs, looking at the stones, looking at the way everything is carved and how everything is so precisely put together is an experience in itself in every single temple, right? But in this one, there was something like a trapdoor situation where you were going deeper into the temple. It was very narrow. It was very small. It was very steep. So the stairs down, which was like more of a ladder than anything else, felt not really stable and all of that. So like it definitely brought up, not necessarily so much in me, but I felt the energy around me from other people having like a bit of anxiety going down there. It wasn't so much for me, but I'm tuning into other people's energy very easily. So I was like, oh, is that me? Okay, no, it's actually not. Good to know. Okay, let's go. So I went down there. And again, it was very narrow. It was like, I wasn't even able to like, just stretch out my arms. This is how narrow it was down there. So like maybe, you know, like this. Beautiful hieroglyphs from the floor up to the ceiling. Full. There was no part of the wall that was not, that where nothing was caved in. So it was almost like a story that was told when you were able to understand the hieroglyphs, obviously, which in that case, we did not have our wisdom keeper with us just because she's in her 60s and going down there is just, it was like a sauna as well. It was very hot down there. So like she didn't follow down there, but this is where I had the most intense activation. I walked down one way and then the other way, and this entire, it almost felt like a corridor because it was so narrow, right? Like a corridor, it must have been maybe 20 meters, 25 meters tops, if even. So walked down and back, just really looked at the hieroglyphs, and I felt more and more an expansion in my chest, as if the energy was like, not as if someone was pulling me open, but giving me the nudge to do it myself. So it very much felt like a heart chakra opening feeling situation, which again, I only felt before in plant medicine ceremonies or doing meditation. So I already was like, okay, like this is going to be special. And then I got to a specific part of that wall. I remember I was walking down, it was on the left side. And Hathor was depicted there. And I couldn't help myself but touch her. And immediately as I did, my knees gave in, I fell to the ground, and I was sobbing. I had a literal breakdown. The floor was covered in sand. It was like, you know, downstairs in a temple. So like, it was not clean, but like, I was fully white clothes on, but like, I was like in the mud, in the dirt, down there sobbing, on my knees in fetal position almost. And later, I found out that it must have been around 45 minutes that I was down there crying because someone was actually starting looking for me and be like, oh my God, where is she? Because at some point, I was alone down there. There was just one other woman from the retreat down there. And she had the same experience on the other side of that corridor-like temple part. So I was sobbing there. She was sobbing there. And I felt the most intense feeling of I'm home now. Like this, my entire life led up to this moment. This is how it felt. It felt like my soul was, whew, finally. It was. In that moment, I felt back or thought back to the moment and the experience and what I was feeling when I walked down the swings. And I was like, that wasn't even 20% of what I'm feeling right now. again, no words to describe what, but it was like as if an energy of remembrance came back of like, yes, you're home now. This is where you belong. This is where you're coming from. This is where you need to almost root into, not necessarily living there, but like root into that energy, root into that ancestry, root into what this place means to me and to so many other people. Because I really believe that that is the beginning of us all right there. Not necessarily right in that temple, but like that land, you know? So this is what I was feeling, as if I finally found my starting point, if that makes sense.
That makes sense. Wow. I'm just taking that in.
Yeah. I'm still...
I can't imagine being there, you know?
What was that?
I can't imagine being there. But that must be even, you know, talking about it again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, this is why that was the moment that I understood that the energy that I was feeling there is what I need to tap into more to continuously fulfill my purpose. I had an understanding on a cellular level, on a soul level, on all of the above, that the connection to this land, to that energy, and also to that wisdom keeper was part of my future. Because I always had the feeling of like, in order to know where you're going, you need to know where you're coming from. And that was the moment where I experienced that saying. Again, on a soul level, on a cellular level, where I really understood on every level possible what that means. And I think this is the moment where I got activated to doing what I'm doing now and what I'm embarking into doing with the retreat that I'm planning with that wisdom keeper myself now. But I wasn't consciously aware of that happening in that moment. But again, in retrospect, I'm like, I think that was the moment where it all started that led to me doing this now.
Woo! So from there, what happened next?
So much. We're not even close
I'm
yet
sure
to
it
the
keeps
end.
Going, right?
I think the next temple that was profound for me was the Luxor temple. Again, not quite sure if that was the next day or a few days later. And that was the chakra temple. Luxor is very much more into the south when you look from Cairo. So it was hot. It was like way over probably 110, 120 degrees. So 45 Celsius. Really hot. And again, beautiful scenery. A very big temple. And there's a very long way that you have to walk towards that temple. It has beautiful columns that are, I don't know how high, but immensely high. Beautiful hieroglyphs again, where just looking at that, where you're asking yourself, how did they do this? Like, this is not humanly possible. Not even yet talking about the pyramid, just columns, right? Which would be difficult today to put up that way. So I looked at it and I was just so, I felt so small, but so big at the same time. So small because I looked at this immense, beautiful, huge monument being reminded by the wisdom keeper and the energies that I was feeling of how old this is and how much wisdom it holds and energy it holds and how many experiences people must have had in there over how many years whatsoever. But at the same time, feeling so connected to it that allowed me to feel my own bigness. That allowed me to believe in my own expansion and taking up space and becoming more of myself. And this is a feeling that I had in every temple, right? But I mean, it comes up for a reason right now, that specific moment I had when I looked at the columns. And then we were told by the wisdom keeper that we are supposed to go through the temple, because it's the temple that helps us to balance our chakras. And it basically starts with the first chakra in the beginning at the entrance, and it goes up to the crown chakra and even further. So like, it is not necessarily tied to the seven chakra system. And we were walking through it, and she just like gave us the advice to just pay attention to sensations in our body when we're walking through it. She also, if I remember correctly, told us not to talk while we are walking through it, so that we're really being able to focus on our sensations, to just try to figure out what we are feeling in what chakra in order to understand which ones need our attention, which chakra needs to be cleared more, which chakra needs to be looked at more, whatever. And I already said that my intention for this trip was to embody more of my feminine energy. I have a journey that I'm happily very grateful for out on the other side now, but I have a very long journey with hormonal imbalance that I was working through on a holistic side. So that was something that I took with me there to help me with it energetically, not just with the herbs that I was taking and all of the meditations that I was doing, but actually being like, okay, like activate me. That's why I also feel like that I was so activated in the Hathor temple that I just talked before this one about, because Hathor is one of the goddesses that are considered and connected with femininity, sensuality, and motherhood. She is the mother of Horus, the god of the sky, and Ra, the god of sun. And that was something that I felt very activated by and connected to as well. But fast forward back to the Luxor temple, the chakra temple. So I was walking through it, and the first chakra that I felt like needed more attention was the sacral center, which made so much sense to me because of the femininity and getting in contact with your womb and that energy that is residing there, and opening myself up for motherhood. This is how I felt like as well. And then I worked further. The next one that I very much felt strongly was the heart center, but not in the front, but in the back. Because I felt like my heart chakra in the front was very much open already, but where my heart chakra was still having trouble to entirely open up was in the back, because of a fairly amount of backstabbing that I received in this lifetime, specifically through ex-partners. So this is where I felt like an expansion in the back, where it was just like, it almost was painful. As if it felt energetically, as if someone was like opening it like this, like, but I didn't feel fingers or anything. I didn't feel physical touch. It was just as if energy was like pulling it apart. That's how it felt like. And it was almost painful. So I was like, okay, whew, that's interesting. So like I stopped for a moment. I let it happen. I was breathing through it. And a lot of old memories came back rushing in, of all of the men in my life that I felt like backstabbed by. starting with my father, which is a whole different story, and then ex-partners, and then also women. But it was more focused on the masculine energy. So just random memories rushing back in of fights that I had with my partners, moments where I felt neglected by my father, and everything happened within like a minute. Like it was rushing in so fast, and it almost felt like I was back in these moments, back in that memory. And it must have looked so funny because I literally stopped walking. That was one of the temples where we did not have a private access, so it was full of people. And I just stopped walking and just opened my palms like this. And I was just like, okay, let it happen, breathing through it. And I can only imagine what other people around me were like, okay, what kind of woo-woo witchy stuff is happening here, right? But I didn't care. Like, I was just like, you know, like, I need this right now. Just go ahead, do your thing. Because it's not widely known that that is one of the temples that helps you to balance your chakras. That's why it is such an amazing opportunity that we had to be guided by a wisdom keeper, not just a tour guide, but someone that was working with that energy for several years. She's doing these tours for 20 plus years. She took it over from her father, who did it probably around 40 years or so. He started guiding Henry Kissinger through the pyramids. He was a very well-known archaeologist and guide and wisdom keeper that had access to knowledge that is not open to public. Let me put it like this. So she was born and raised she was literally birthed on that balcony that I was talking about, where this journey for me started, looked like the mother birthed her on that balcony, looking onto the pyramids. Like, that's the story that she told us, where I was like, okay, well, of course you are who you are, right? She was climbing the pyramids when she was a child. So she has the knowledge. So when she is telling us, like, this is the temple to balance your chakras, it holds so much weight, because that is nothing that you would read in a brochure or on the website of the Luxor Temple, right? Like, this is where it says, like, the Luxor Temple was built for this king or this queen or whatever, and it was in that and that time, and yada yada. But she was like, no, there's so much more to it. Like, it's here for us. So as I was standing there, this gratitude after this intensity of energy in my back resides, a, like, rush of gratitude just came over me. And I was like, oh my God, you're just really exactly where you need to be. So continued walking, and then ended up being at the last section, I want to call it, from that temple, where the crown chakra part meets with whatever chakra is above that, you know, like the ethereal, the aura chakra. I don't know even know if that is a name. So I decided to sit down there and start meditating to just really indulge into that energy, really getting into it. Again, I was barefoot. I was covered in white. And sitting there there's like a little bit of a possibility to sit where the columns are. So like there's a bit of stone around the column that leaves enough space for you to actually sit there. So I was with my back to that column in that part of that crown chakra, whatever else chakra energy. And I was sitting there, and what came through me is something that I specifically am working with already, but back then I wasn't so deep yet in that rabbit hole like I am right now. And I went down that rabbit hole because of that moment. So what came to me is, I'm working with human design. Just for everyone that is listening right now, human design is a system that is based on I Ching, Kabbalah, the chakra system, and quantum physics, and explains to you how you energetically are wired, how you are energetically designed, and how to utilize your energy in the best way. There are different energy types, and it explains to you how you can make use of that energy in the best way. So I already worked with human design, But what came through me in that moment was there is, in the human design field, it's been said that we are moving into a new era, into a new energy in 2027, in February. I think it's on the February 28th, if I remember correctly, but definitely February 2027, where we are closing out a cycle that started in 1416 or so, 1417. So a 400-year cycle is about to end in 2027. And we are moving from what is called, there's something called incarnation cross in the human design, which when you read it for a person talks about your purpose, but when you read about it for a country or a planet, it's for the collective. So just as much as a person has an incarnation cross, a country or the planet can have an incarnation cross. And we are still in the incarnation cross that is called the cross of planning, which is head center energy, masculine energy, structure energy, outer authority energy, having someone guiding us, having someone telling us what to do. And we are moving into the cross that is called the cross of the sleeping phoenix, which drops down into the solar plexus center, which is about courage, which is feminine energy, which is intuition energy, which is receiving, surrendering energy, but also self-sufficiency, inner authority, trusting yourself, listening to your own guiding system and not to people outside of yourself, governments or whatever else, since we have been seeing how that is going so far.
Let them know.
Right?
Let them know.
And in that moment, I knew about that shift of 2027, but in that moment, it was like I was experiencing on an energetic level how that shift will impact us and how that shift will make us feel. Like bodily sensations even. And that's why I truly believe that was part of all of it. It's a whole different story that we can go into. Again, I love conspiracy theories, and I'm definitely one of the people believing that there was an agenda, but it backfired. Because it made not yet all of us on this planet, not the entire collective, but enough people realize and see that nothing is safe. You can't have control over everything or anything really. And you can't trust the government. Latest now, being out of most of it, I kind of have a feeling that that there's another rush coming. But being out on the other side of most of it, people start to realize, even the ones that are not into conspiracy theory, all of that, even these people are starting to see that so much of that was bullshit, if not everything. And that is exactly what I was experiencing in that moment. As if I was put into 2027 for a moment to feel how this is going to impact humanity. And that everything else and the hardship of it and losing jobs, losing loved ones, all of it was part of us awakening to our inner authority. We were forced to start listening to ourselves. We were forced to look at our shit. We were forced to ask questions of like, who am I when I'm not what I'm doing? When my job is stripped away, when my family is stripped away, when my friends are stripped away, when all of my coping mechanisms are stripped away, not being able to go outside and forget about all of your stuff that you're dealing with by drinking alcohol, partying, or whatever. When all of that is stripped away, what is left? Who are you? And that is what I feel like we are being prepared for in order to be able to let that energy land. We basically created a void for that energy to have space to land in 2027. And this is how it felt like in that moment.
That's not where I thought where this podcast was going to go, but we ride this ship if that's the way she goes. It's all part of it, right?
It's all part of it.
Okay. Great. So back to Egypt and your experience.
Yes.
Take me back to that moment where we left off.
That moment was, again, so intense. I had visions. I had just knowingness. Again, it's so difficult to put it into words, but it was as if I was seeing people finally embodying themselves on a deeper level. So what I was, like, the vision, I'm trying to describe the vision that I was seeing was people with the most genuine smiles instead of the one everyone puts on as a mask when they are like, hey, how are you doing? Hey, what's up? When you go to Target or when you go shopping or whatever. Like the most genuine and pure smile. And not like, you know, an overly indulgent one. It was like a very soft smile, but like as if they were on a frequency of enlightenment paired with peace. So a knowingness and an awareness and a trust in what is happening without trying to control, and at the same time a level of peace that helped to actually hold on to that trust. So it was just like a normal scenery of as if you were just watching a movie and you're seeing like a scene on the street where people are just, or like more so, it was more so like a park scenario. It was a lot of like nature. So as if it is like a scene in a park where people are playing with their dogs and someone else has a picnic and then someone else is holding hands and they're a couple and they're sitting there together and they're talking or whatever. So a scenery like this. But as if there was like a filter on it that made everything more smooth. What is coming to me right now is when you watch Disney movies, like it always has like a smooth out filter on it where everything is just like warm and cozy and a little blurry. And that is kind of how it felt like and how it looked like. And I had an intense feeling of like that is not going to happen. I just want to make that clear that is not going to happen in 2027, but that this is where this energy is starting to build. So if we as humans, the ones that are living right now, are actually going to experience this, I don't know. But I was able to get a little taste of it. And that was beautiful. And I felt it in my entire body. And it made all the sense to me with everything that has happened to that point. And even now to that moment where we are right now, where everything is just culminating into people realizing so much stuff and trying to become more self-sufficient. Like this has, I feel like, never been so much talk about learn how to grow your own food. Learn how to, you know, like do these things of like being self-sufficient in your job, like get this online job, like quit corporate, like start working for yourself, become an entrepreneur. There's so many different opportunities now. And they all point to the direction of like inner authority, self-sufficiency. Like this is where it leads to. And again, all of that is, I really feel like part of it. So that is what I was feeling in that moment. And bodily sensations that I had was like a really intense buzzing on my crown chakra. Again, almost to the extent of like, this is getting painful. I kind of need to stop this. But then at the same time, I was like, no, but I need to receive all the downloads that I can. And then what happened literally was that some of the guides in the temple were stopping us from meditating. And we had to leave the temple because, like I said, it was not one of the private accesses. It was like full on tourism energy right there. So don't you give people any ideas of what these temples are actually about, right? You can't like sit here and meditate and make all of the tourists think that they can do that too. That happened a couple of times, actually. That was not the only one. But yeah, so that happened there. Then we went to another temple, which is called the Karnak Temple, which was also very profound in itself. Not as intense as the other ones that I was talking about so far. And that was one that is the temple to close and open doors. Close doors and what you don't want to take into the next level of your life and open up to what you actually want more of or want to invite into your life. And that you might, until this point, not really felt worthy of. So it literally has a doorway, which is seven frames, seven doors, which is, they put up a wall into these frames. So it's not an actual portal anymore because, again, they're trying to do everything so that we are not able to receive what we can receive in these temples. But the frames are still visible. So it's seven frames. And the Wisdom Keeper told us that it used to be an actual portal where people were going through to get to their next level, even if that means it's a different physical destination. And she asked us to individually step onto that portal, put our hands there again, and just envision what we want to close our doors on and what we want to open them on. Because we're obviously not allowed, well, it's literally physically not possible anymore to walk through that portal. We were supposed to envision it. And that's what I was doing. Like I was just standing there and I envisioned it, and personal things that I not necessarily want to get into came up for me that I need to close my doors on and what I need to open my doors for. The one that I needed to open my doors for is something I happily talk about, which is that I got a very deep realization of that I need to step into expressing myself much more than I have been. And not being afraid to do so. I'm a Leo. I'm a person that secretly wants to be the center of attention, that secretly wants to be on stage, but at the same time is so afraid of it, right? And that felt like an activation for me as well, to just allow myself to be even more authentic, to express myself the way I want to express myself. Everyone that is watching right now can see like I wear a lot of blue. Really indulging specifically at this moment more into the throat chakra energy, which is the blue energy. So I'm using all of the tools to do so. I'm sitting here talking to you about all of these things, which I would have probably not been so balanced and peacefully able to like a year ago or so. Like I really was working on myself to be able to, no, you need to talk about these things. You know, don't be afraid of what people are thinking. Don't be afraid of, you know, how you might be seen by some people because you will touch the right ones. And I had that knowingness for a while, but like actually doing it and just knowing it are a different story. We all know that. But I'm here. I'm here now talking about it and it feels amazing. So I think that was part of what I want to, like, it's part of the testament, basically, this moment as well. So I had specific moments in all of the temples, and every temple, something was happening that helped me to activate myself to more of myself. And that was that one, the expression part. The last temple that we went into that was also private access was the Isis temple. The goddess Isis is probably one of the most well-known ones. She's also about femininity, sensuality, motherhood. And that was the goddess activation, the divine feminine activation, which is not a gender-specific thing. We all have feminine and masculine energy within us. So like even when men are going there, they're able to receive that energy. And it was really the next level of that Karnak temple about the doors. Because at the Isis temple, there was actually a portal that we were able to go through, which is very big, a very big doorway almost, stone, that you are walking through to step into that new life. And then, which I found so cute and funny at the same time, was a very tiny door that you're supposed to walk through when you don't want to have a new experience, when you don't want to walk into something new. So just like depicting as the small door and the big door was always like, it had like a little cute touch to it. And that entire temple is very special because it has been relocated physically because of floods in, I don't want to say the wrong time, but I want to say 1800 something. So it has been physically relocated and it is surrounded by water, which is absolutely beautiful. And like I said, we had that private access and it was before sunrise. I think it started, we got there at 5 a.m. and we were able to stay there until 7 a.m. So we had 2 hours of indulging into that energy, watching the sunrise. A lot of cats at that temple, a lot of like this cat-like majestic energy embodied through. I saw probably 10 to 15 cats there. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful animals. Like, always, but specifically these ones, they had like a specific glow to it, I almost want to say. Maybe it was because I felt the way I was feeling, but everything felt so in tune and very beautifully put together, as if like the creator, whatever, whoever created all of this was doing a very good job. Let me put it like this. And there was a part where we were asked to walk through that doorway. And when we came out on the other side, to sit down by the water and meditate on what we want to step into, the new life, the new part, the new chapter. And then the nephew of the Wisdom Keeper, who's also part of these retreats usually, because he's being trained by her, showed us how to cleanse ourselves in that sacred water that was around that temple. It was very close to the same procedure that Muslims are using when they cleanse themselves before they go into their prayer. I must admit that I forgot how it was, but it was like a several amounts of times washing your hands, washing your head, washing your neck, washing your feet. And he basically told us how to do it. So like, it was a whole initiation process there as well that we were able to go through. And then we walked to a different part of the temple where there was another doorway to walk through to kind of close out that initiation and finally move into that new chapter of your life. And this is then where the sun was already up and it was beautiful. You were able to look onto the water. The sun was like glistening in the water in the reflection, and it was absolutely breathtaking, absolutely beautiful experience just to look at. And that really, that was a moment that made me, or that made it easier for me to feel that goddess energy within me, that divine energy, feminine energy within me, because I was raised by three women, but I never had like a masculine counterpart really present in my life. So I think it can either go that way or can go that way. Like either I can be very feminine because of that, or I have to adapt a lot of masculine energy because I didn't feel safe and I felt like I needed to compensate what I was lacking. And that was exactly what happened to me. Also raised by very strong two Aries women, very fiery, very like, you know, standing in life with their two feet. So they had to depict a lot of masculine energy as well in their life. And I think I just adapted that. So the entire journey, but specifically the Isis temple, really helped me to feel how it feels like to be more feminine, how it feels like inside of myself to get in touch with that inner feminine of mine. So that was absolutely beautiful and an absolutely amazing experience itself as well. And then we were closing out the retreat with the last private access that we had in the Great Pyramid, which was connected to the King's Chamber. So we were climbing into the pyramid, is what you have to say. You can't walk into the pyramid. It's like a shaft that has like steps in there where you have to duck and like move into like this. And then it opens up into the chamber of the king. And then it literally has the tomb of the king there out of granite stone again, very big. And usually you're only allowed to look at it. We were allowed to lay in that tomb, which was open. And the wisdom keeper helped us to tune into that tone, that frequency that activates the vibration and energy in that stone so that we can receive that energy. So each and every one, at some point, laying in that tomb, just chanting a specific tone, which was very low, actually. Which was good for me because high-pitched chanting is not my thing. Doesn't work with my voice. So chanting in that frequency, in that tone. And again, I felt vibrations in my body. Like I literally moved and was my body was trembling while I was laying in there chanting. And at some point, the entire group like tuned in and we were all chanting. We were all doing this for each and every one of us. Like everyone in the tomb was chanting by themselves for a moment and then everyone just like tuned in. And it was such an amazing feeling of like, I felt so safe and so held by everyone being in this. I mean, it was a tomb that I was laying in there. Like it could have brought up so many other different feelings that you don't want to feel, right? But I felt very safe and very held by everyone. And again, very activated. Like it rushed through my body. I felt energy going through. I felt like that. I mean, I believe in the healing powers of crystals and stones in general, because I really feel like so much is stored in there. It has such a high density, so there must be something in there more than just that material that that stone is made of. So it made logical sense to me just as much as the physical and energetic experience that I had. Because I remember that I was laying in there and I started vibrating and I was like, oh my God, yes, like that makes so much sense, is what came up for me when I was laying there in that moment. And then we were also allowed, when we wanted to drop deeper into the pyramid to go into the chamber of the queen. So that's what I did after I was done with my round in the tomb. And as soon as I walked into the chamber of the queen, I felt a sense of non-acknowledgement, a sense of as if, like, it held an energy of like the queen was not closely as important as the king. And it was even physically visible that that was the case, because that chamber was used as a storage room. There were just like materials standing around, machines, like light bulbs and I don't know, whatever, like it's just stuff, right? And I was sitting there and I think I was sitting there with four other women of the retreat. And we all later on talked about that. We all felt the same, as if there's still an energy because of Egypt, what Egypt is today, that there is a suppressing energy towards the feminine energy, right? So seeing this made me sad on a level that I could feel was not me. Me, Janna, felt sad about it as well, because I'm like, what the fuck? Like, how dare you? But when I was meditating and going into the energy, it almost felt like the spirit of that queen was using our bodies to allow herself to feel the frustration and the anger and the sadness and the feeling suppressed energy. Because it felt like what I was feeling wasn't mine, but it was a very powerful energy at the same time. So that was also really interesting. And that was something that I took with me and I journaled a lot about later on, and I meditated on a lot as well, to just connect to that energy and almost be like, I'm sorry, you know, I'm sorry you had to feel that. And it's still the case, like even now after I don't know how many years you're gone, and your room, your chamber that your king probably chose to build for you, and now every man and the people that are making the decisions use it as a storage room. Like, how backwards is that? How backwards is the world? And it's like, it just like kind of is a metaphor of how the world is being perceived and played out through the patriarchy, right? So that was really, really an intense moment as well. Not so much, you know, on like a personal level, but more so like collective level, and the suppression of the feminine energy. I don't want to say only, it's not necessarily a war on women. It's part of it, but it really is a war on femininity, because even the feminine aspect in men is at war, right? Even that is suppressed. So that is what it really was about. But that was like an amazing metaphor of that, I feel like. So that was crazy as well. And then I did not. So that was a retreat. That was what was happening. We were 2 days prior to that, the King's Chamber. We flew back from wherever we landed with the boat to Cairo to then go back to the pyramids. And this is how we ended it. We had like then a closing ceremony together, and we were like a sharing circle and just sharing what was happening. We also had a lot of different meditations in between the retreat on the sailing boat that we were on. We were lucky enough to have a beautiful full moon on one of the nights where we were on the boat, which was incredibly beautiful. Just watching the scenery change, traveling along the Nile from lush plants all over to deepest, driest desert, literally seeing a chain of camels walking in the distance, back to very lush plants and almost jungle vibe energy, was so beautiful as well in itself. So the entire trip, the entire journey, the entire experience was filled with magic. And it lasted so long. And even now talking about it, I can feel my heart like being filled up by these memories again. And the days after the retreat, I did not book a return flight ticket because I had a feeling of like, oh, you might want to stay longer. Like, let's see what happens. So I ended up staying 2 more weeks. I learned a specific healing technique from the wisdom keeper as well, which is called the Isis healing technique. Nowadays, it's more called BioTouch, which apparently Mary Magdalene learned from the Isis goddess school and taught it to Jesus. And it's like a healing technique by touch, where you usually literally use these two fingers. And I have so many pictures of Jesus where he's doing this. So like, kind of makes sense too. So that was a whole amazing experience as well, to receive from this wisdom keeper on a different level. And then there's one more memory that I want to share that was really intense that I was able to experience way after the retreat, like probably a week after or 10 days after. Again, on the balcony of the wisdom keeper, where like almost every night that I was there were different people. Like, she literally opens up her doors, specifically her balcony, to people she just meets on that day. So there was a family, there was a woman that chose to live in Egypt, and she had her kids visiting her, twins, boys, maybe, I don't know, 15, 16, 17, and then maybe like a 20-year-old daughter or so. And I had a very profound experience there. We were smoking blue lotus. You guys don't know, you can't just drink blue lotus tea, you can also smoke it. And I had an experience where I was able to feel everyone's reality at the same time. As if I was literally, I was almost about to say, as if I was like an energy ball that was dropping into everyone at once, but that's not what it was, because I was able to feel everything simultaneously. I was able to feel how the mother was so excited and so happy and proud of her children being there, coming from, I think they came from Ireland or the UK, but coming from like a so different culture to visit her here and basically support her in her decision to stay there and live there. So I had an immense feeling of pride and motherly energy within me. And at the same time, I felt the discomfort of the daughter, because the wisdom keeper had food on the table and was like, please, you know, enjoy, get food and help yourself. And what I realized, or what I understood by feeling into her energy, was that she was taught to not just indulge into food when it's there, but like it has actually, it needs to be like an actual invitation. And she didn't really feel like that's what she got. So she felt discomfort around it being there. And I felt her being hungry, but she just didn't get herself to actually grab the food and indulge in it and eat it and allow herself to do it. And I felt the twins being bored and just wanting to leave and being like, what is all of this woo and what are they talking about? And, you know, like, who is this woman that talks about energies and deities and goddess and like, come on now, let's go, mom. Like, I'm over this. And at the same time, I was feeling like this wisdom keeper open and feeling the energy of the wisdom keeper being open to like, I just want to have you all here and I want to mother you and I want to be there for you and I want to hold you. And then one of my friends came late and she came in. And I immediately felt into her and was feeling that she was so confused about who these people are and what they are doing here and what is happening. And we were supposed to have dinner together and watch the sunset. And who are these people? So like all of that happened within a few seconds. And I was feeling everything at the same time. I don't know if you guys have watched or if you, Nick, have watched the movie Everything Everywhere All at Once.
I was just going to ask you if that's what it was like.
That's exactly how it felt like. And I obviously watched that movie after I went on that trip and after I had that experience. But when I was watching that movie, I was like, wow, that's exactly what it was. That's exactly how it feels like. And that was just incredible. And another just amazing experience outside of the actual days of the retreat.
Wow. So at the end of the day, you know, after you had your, oh man, now my thing shut off again. We almost made it fully here. Hold on. I think yours is still going to be going, so it'll be all good.
Yes. Just now, the phone.
I don't know
for
why
the first
my
time
internet's going out now. That's crazy. I'm trying to reconnect. Have internet problems. Okay, I'm back. Yeah, you're good. Okay, so back to what I was saying. So after all of that, and you went back to Bali. Is that what you did?
I was going to Germany first, where I'm from, to visit family and friends. And then I went back to Bali. Like, the retreat was in September and I was back in Bali in November.
Gotcha. Okay, so what are your thoughts now? I mean, we talked about the whole thing and we went through the whole experience, which was such an amazing story, by the way. So looking back at it, for someone, let's just say this, for someone who has never even went to Egypt or even maybe somewhere else that they feel called to, what would you say? Because I feel like there's a lot of people that feel called to a specific area, but they haven't been there yet. And they feel like, should I go? Is it BS? You know, how do they decipher?
Yeah. So from my experience, I can just say that it was one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life. Because it taught me so much about myself. It taught me so much, like, even beyond what I perceive as myself, right? Like this avatar that I chose to be, Jannah, in this lifetime. But I felt connected to my soul on so many occasions, on so many different levels, in so many different intensities. And I got so many glimpses of what more I am, and therefore every one of you listening, watching, is capable of. We are so much more powerful than we are taught to be. And everything that you are interested in, is it going somewhere else because it calls you, or learning about something specific, or whatever it is, whatever has an intensity of interest for you, it's there for a reason. This is truly what I believe how our intuition, our soul tries to communicate with us. Because it can only give us nudges to a certain extent, because we still at the end of the day have a free will and say, no, we don't want that. But these are the moments and these are the ways where our soul is like, this is your next level. This is your next chapter. And that usually happens when you are already asking yourself, what's next? What am I meant to do? Where am I meant to go? What am I meant to experience? If it's like a new level on your personal, in your personal life, or a new level in your career or family or whatever, it doesn't really matter at the end of the day, but these are the moments that goes beyond our consciousness and that is trying to help us and guide us into the next step. So when you're called to go somewhere, please go. Make it happen. If you have to save money to do it, you know, just do it. It will be so worth it. And I think another way, just because as the humans that we are, and we kind of need it to be logical sometimes and need some proof, look into what is called astrocartography, which is astrology for places, which kind of can give you an explanation of why you're drawn to specific areas on the planet. And then it may activate you even more and give you more trust into that is actually what you, where you need to go and what you need to do.
And there it is, the story. Wow, yes. Let's go. I can't even thank you enough for telling that story here on the podcast. You're such a great storyteller, and I really think a lot of people are going to resonate thank with you. Your story. So where can people find you now? Where are you most active? Are you mostly on Instagram? Are you on YouTube? Or are you doing anything yet? Or I just want people to be able to find you if they want to, if they, I'm sure
yes.
they will. So,
yeah. So where I'm most active is definitely Instagram. I am moving more and more into TikTok. I also have a YouTube, but the most active I'm on Instagram so far. And you can find me almost everywhere. It's the same name. Janna, GIANNA _ Shamone, SHAMONE. This is where you literally find me everywhere. My website is JannaShamoneWithoutTheUndersquare.com. But the easiest way to find everything else about me is literally on my Instagram account.
All right. Thanks for watching / listening to Universe of Game here. If you enjoyed the podcast, consider subscribing, sticking around for more podcasts, because we've got plenty more good ones. And other than that, maybe even consider checking out the Patreon. We go live every week in there. You can ask questions. You know, we can have more of a dialogue in there. Other than that, see you in the next one. And until then, peace.